This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest today, Eric Glenn, CEO, Colorado Cattlemen's Ag Land Trust. We'll talk with Eric Glenn in just a moment. First off, let's talk cattle. Let's talk beef and demand. With all of the uncertainty, with all of the quote-unquote inflation, Don Close with Terrain says we haven't lost demand.
We haven't. I think there's reasons if you look at the pace that retail prices were accelerating in 2025. And, you know, have we flattened some? Have we slowed down some? The rate of ascent, yes. But have we rolled it over to a point that, say, demand has diminished? I don't believe we're there.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today we're joined by Eric Glenn. Eric is CEO of the Colorado Cattlemen's Agricultural Land Trust. That is a mouthful, Eric. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, let's simplify it a little bit. And it's a lot of words there for a business card, but who is the organization? What is the organization? And what is it that you do?
So in 1995, the Colorado Cattlemen's Association, which is the nation's oldest ag industry group, started a conservation organization. And at the time, that was a pretty progressive move. And they did it because producers in Colorado were facing the challenges, particularly with estate taxes, of how to pass these family farms and ranches on to the next generation. And CCA determined that there was a tool that existed in the tax code called a conservation easement that could be helpful. There were environmental groups that were focused on that tool at that time, but no ag groups that farm and ranch families could turn to. And so they decided to set up CCALT, becoming first of its kind in the country, land trust that focuses exclusively on working with farm and ranch families to ensure we keep those working farms and ranches working and in family hands as much as we possibly can. And so since CCA created CCALT in 95, six other state livestock associations have followed suit, and we now have sister organizations operating in seven total states across the West and Midwest. And collectively, we've worked with more than 2,000 families and conserved over 3.1 million acres of working productive agricultural land across the West and Midwest.
This may be a bit elementary, but for those who don't know what an agricultural easement is, you know, or a conservation easement, what is it and how does this work?
Yeah, thanks, Tony. You know, this is a tool that is becoming more and more popular with producers across the country, and it's largely why we've been on a mission to educate folks a little bit more about the tool and what it does. So a conservation easement is essentially a contract that's intended to last in perpetuity between a landowner and a eligible entity, which could be a land trust like CCALT, or it could be an entity of government, or it could be an Indian tribe. Those are the three eligible entities listed under the law that can hold a conservation easement. And the easement itself is a set of deed restrictions on the land that can be designed to be as flexible or inflexible as the landowner and the entity that's going to hold that easement want it to be. Now, in an agricultural context, our focus is on keeping land open and in its condition to grow food and fiber. And so we're really trying to balance with that landowner what they need in terms of infrastructure for running that operation successfully with the requirements under law that allow them to get tax incentives and in some cases other financial incentives from various funders that are interested in conservation and ensuring that we have working farms and ranches. So essentially, if you're working with my organization, we care about a couple of things. We care about where you're going to build houses and other major ag infrastructure. We don't care about where you're going to put corrals or stock tanks or fences. Those things you can put as an operator where you need to put them. We're going to care about keeping that land, that unit, as a single unit as much as possible to ensure that we can have the scale of land we need to produce food and fiber going forward. And we're going to care about the water because it's hard to do production agriculture without water. Those are the main things we're going to care about. And what we found is that our conservation works very aligned with the goals and objectives of most producers and most families out there. We can build an easement that will work for their operation, not just today, but into the future.
We're talking with Eric Glenn, CEO of Colorado Cattlemen's Agricultural Land Trust. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest today, Eric Glenn, CEO, Colorado Cattlemen's Ag Land Trust. All right. Are there some do's and don'ts?
Absolutely. And so when we talk about what's allowed and what's not allowed, it is really dependent on what the landowner is looking to achieve and then what that entity that they're partnering with seeks to do. And again, in an agricultural context, if you're working with my organization, our real objective is to ensure that these working farms and ranches stay working. So designing that easement is going to be very focused on what does that producer need today and into the future to be able to do that. Now, there's been some misinformation that we've seen out in the media and in other contexts that say if you do a conservation easement and you grow let's say you grow alfalfa today, you have to grow alfalfa forever per the terms of that easement. That's just not true. You could design an easement that way. I think that would be malpractice. Really, if you're designing an ag easement, what you're doing is using it as a durability tool. And that means let's keep the land available to do what God intended that land to do, which is to grow food and fiber, provide habitat for wildlife, and provide these other natural resources that are important to the quality of life for all of us. If we do that, if we keep that land intact, it can continue to produce for all of us. And so we can design that easement with that context of durability in a way that allows a landowner to change its crop. If they're growing crops, they can change their crop. If they're raising livestock, they can change their grazing patterns. They can change the livestock that they're grazing. They can move stock tanks where they need to. They can move fences and corrals where they need to. What we're really just focused on is let's identify where we're going to put that major infrastructure in areas where it makes operational sense, and then keep the rest of it open to be available to produce food and fiber.
We're talking with Eric Glenn, CEO of Colorado Cattlemen's Agricultural Land Trust, and this is the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest today is the CEO of the Colorado Cattlemen's Agricultural Land Trust. It's Eric Glenn. And Eric, we've been talking about easements here, but I wonder, eminent domain, is there anything that we need to keep in mind as far as these easements and trust and eminent domain? Is this anything?
So this again is an area where we've seen some misinformation being provided to landowners and folks by groups that for whatever reason have decided conservation easements are not a good tool. And I would tell you, Tony, first off, it's not a tool for every family. Families that are considering the tool need to be very thoughtful in a couple of things. One, who they're going to partner with in holding that easement, and two, how they design that easement, and can it be designed in a way that meets their short and long-term goals. And they do those things, they're going to set themselves up for success. But one of the pieces of misinformation we see is that first off, easements can stop eminent domain, and that is not true. They can't stop a public entity from taking land under the powers of eminent domain. It can make it much more difficult, but it can't stop it. Secondly, is that governments are using eminent domain then to take conservation easements. We haven't seen that. That could they do that foreseeably? Probably. But when you're talking about conservation easements, again, in the context of agriculture, and you're working with an agricultural focused organization, we're not using eminent domain, nor can we use eminent domain to force a landowner to do conservation. These easements are voluntary. They're designed in concert with that family and with that landowner. And that's something that we really want to make sure that producers across the country understand. This is a tool. It's a tool that works well in some instances. And for some families, it doesn't necessarily work for all. But what we want to do is make sure that the tool continues to exist, because what we need in agriculture, I would argue more than anything today, is more tools. More tools to keep our families on the land and producing that healthy quality food product for all of us to enjoy.
Again, Eric Glenn is CEO of the Colorado Cattlemen's Agricultural Land Trust, and they're online. You can find them, ccalt.org. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Don Close is with Terrain on the upcoming grilling season.
I think that heavy period of usage is still ahead of the market. We've seen cooler temperatures over a lot of the country, and their idea is that has caused the start of the consumer grilling season to start a touch later than normal. That in price certainly could be true, but as an industry observer, do I think that the seasonality of that spring grilling season, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Memorial Day, even all the way to the 4th of July, do I think that demand surge is still in front of the market? I absolutely do.
It's the Agribusiness Report.